You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Arthur Japin's latest novel, Director's Cut, is a fictionalized account of the last love affair of an Italian filmmaker who bears a strong resemblance to Federico Fellini. It traces the lives of a young Dutch couple who go to Rome to become actors in the hope of working for a very famous Italian director, but upon meeting them, he lures the young woman away from her boyfriend. The book is published by Knopf. I'm very pleased that it brings Arthur Japin to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Now, your book is a novel about the lives and loves of actors and filmmakers, and there's a lot of acting in your background, too, isn't there?
There is. Well, there's a lot of me in the book. It's always difficult to explain. It is a novel, but it is based on my experiences with Federico Fellini and a friend of mine with whom I went to Rome to be in his films. My other novels are all historical novels, and then you take the facts and you can use, and you turn them around a little, and you make it into a story. And actually, that's the same thing I did, only this time my own life was.
Well, usually novels start off, their first novel is the one that's semi-autobiographical. You waited until your third.
Yeah. The strange thing is, anyway, I find that every time I start a novel and I'm working for a couple of months, then I find that there are big autobiographical facts in those historical lives. And so I can read any novel as a historical, any historical novel as an autobiographical.
You have acted. You've written for the stage as well. Are you still acting?
I'd stopped years ago, and now that everybody knows me in Holland, so they start asking me for little cameo roles. So I just did two, which felt like more. And now someone's written a play for me, which I might be doing in about 2 years' time.
Well, were you happy to trade in the usually collaborative experience of an actor for the solitary life of a writer?
Oh, totally. I wasn't fit out to be an actor. I had this dream when I was a child. I came from a strange family. There was a lot of violence, both at home and in school. And I saw a lot of theater. And I thought, if I go and do that for a couple of hours, be someone else, forget my own sorrow and take on another role and take on another life, I thought that would make me happier. And actually, once I started doing it professionally, I never found that. It never worked for me because I was out there much more naked than much more naked than you wanted to be, much more vulnerable. And now finally, after a long detour, I came to this writing. And now that's actually what I do. Every day when I sit down for a couple of hours, I am someone else.
But you must have been an ambitious actor to go to Rome in expectation of connecting with Federico Fellini and appearing in one of his films?
I must have been a foolish actor. No, I was an unhappy one. And my friend, Rosita Steenbeek, who is now also a writer in Holland.
Picture appears on the cover.
Yes, well, both our pictures. That's the picture that was actually up in Fellini's office at some point, the picture we had made when we went to Rome. And we both wanted to do something else. We had this, it was not a very clear dream, but it was just a way of getting out of Holland. She had made a couple of films with Theo van Gogh, who was the family related to Vincent, the guy who was murdered
on our show many years ago.
Of course,
he was assassinated.
He was assassinated by an Islamist terrorist, yes, a couple of years ago. Very unfortunate. And she'd made some films with him, and we had this dream, and we just said, hey, why don't we go to Rome? And probably when we're sitting in Trastevere with a little cappuccino, probably this big Fellini will walk by and say, hey, I want you to be in my new movie. And more or less happened like that. He didn't walk by. Took us a lot of work to be allowed in his office.
But in the novel, the couple looks up the director in the phone book and calls his house.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was Fellini in the phone book?
Yeah, I think he was. Yeah, we had this directory where it's a little green book in which had all the directors in it. So we've been to the strangest places, but we had an agent who finally managed to work our way into Cinecittà, which is the film city in Rome, and then it happened. Actually, he came in our lives and changed our lives in a dramatic way, changed our friendship. We had been lovers before we went to Rome. We weren't lovers at that point, but I was her best friend and confidant. And so I witnessed this affair starting to develop. And now she was a woman who, when I met her, when I studied Dutch with her, that language and literature at the university. She was a strong, independent woman, and she taught me how to lose my fears and not be afraid of what people think of you. And that all changed once she fell in love with him and he with her, and she became more and more dependent on him.
Well, there's such a difference in their age. He's 40 years older than she is.
Absolutely, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Rosita, Gala in the book also has a strong fixation on her father, whom she loves, but who was a very demanding man. And I think this is part of the problem, that once she gets this great genius, who was a wonderful man, don't get me wrong, it was wonderful to be around him, and he was like a child in a way, with all his fantasies and his beautiful images. And of course, she wanted to be around him. But I always wondered, how is it possible that love that is supposed to make you grow and make you bigger and make you stronger, how can it be that it makes her so small and weak and doubtful of herself? She started to think she was fat and developed this eating disorder. And at the end, I couldn't get her out of this little house. He had got her a little cell above a church in Rome, and he had it decorated by his said designers, and it was a beautiful little place. But finally, I couldn't get her out of that place because she wanted to be by the phone just in case he called. And then, of course, he didn't. And when he didn't for a while, she said, "Well, you call him." And I would. And that would be this woman's voice saying, "Pronto." And I would pretend to be an American journalist wanting an interview. And then she said, "Well, mi dispiace, ma signor Fellini non c'è." And then I knew he was home, because it was him being his own secretary, because he didn't have a secretary there. And anyway, what do you do then if you're a confidant to someone who's so in love with this guy? Do you tell her, yes, he is home, or ever he lies to you? Or what do you do? And that's what the book's also about. But still, it's a novel, and I'm saying this because the guy who's me in the novel, Maxime, isn't exactly a hero, because he sort of also goes along with this whole affair.
Well, you were allowed to change things a bit, but Fellini did all the time himself. 8.5 is about his relations with women. Did you find it to be a fairly accurate portrait?
Well, that's of course the film was made long before I met him, so I would assume it was a pretty accurate portrait. He was he really loved his wife Giulietta Masina, the actress Gelsomina, she's called in the book after one of the roles he gave her. That was a genuine love, a sad love, because she knew about his affairs, and but that was also true. But he'd had many affairs with people. Yeah.
Often with younger women of the sort that we write about here. How did you come up with Snaporaz, the fictional name you've given him?
Ah, well, whenever Federico would have a character in one of his movies that was based on himself, usually played by Marcello Mastroianni or Paolo Villaggio, who's a comedian, he would always call him Snaporaz. So I thought, well, if I do the novel, that has to be his name.
My guest is Arthur Japin, whose latest novel is called Director's Cut. It is published by Knopp. You talked about her dependence on him. She's the last love of his life, Snaporaz's life. What happens to her after he dies?
He tells her his own life becomes smaller and smaller. I let him tell the story when he's in his coma, the last few weeks of his life, and his own life is getting smaller, and the dreams are going away, and he thinks about what he did to these two young actors who came from Holland to be in his movies, and especially to Gala, to the Rosita character. And actually, he ends by saying, the book starts, he says, "I invented Rome, the Rome of La Dolce Vita," was his invention. And in the end, he says, "Well, now you go and you reinvent yourself." And that's actually what she did. And that's why she always says, when you, Rosita, my friend in real life, she says, when you go out to talk about the book, always tell people that I had a different experience than the one you had, because I had Federico. I was happy at the time. And actually, he was good for her, because she wrote her side of this story called The Last Woman, and that turned her into a writer, and she now is a very well-loved writer in the Netherlands.
Well, I'm sure that you showed her the book before you published
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Is she happy with the portrait you've yes, painted of her?
Yes, I think she is. First of all, she said, well, I can see how much you loved me. And I think that's good. And so I gave it to her. I said, well, anything you want taken out, I'll be happy to do. And then she read it and she said, no, it's fine. You publish it like this. And then once the book was out and in print, she said, well, there were two things that I didn't like. And but I thought it's your book. And this is the way you perceived it. So I thought you should go ahead, which I think is really, really strong of her. Shows you what kind of character she is.
I wonder about the title, because often when books are translated into English, they're given different titles. I
Absolutely.
Just learned that the girl with the dragon tattoo, it was called Men Who Hate Women
uh-huh.
in Sweden.
Yeah,
very different kind of title.
Yeah.
Did this book have a different title?
Absolutely. In Dutch, it's called The Lion's Dream. And that's because Fellini's very last meters of film were devoted to Rosita. Nobody wanted to put up the money for his big films anymore because he made them very expensively. He could never say before what he was going to film. So the only thing he got money for were three commercials for the Banca di Roma. And the last one of those commercials, which aired after he died, and Rosita saw after he died, in that you see one of these two actors who portrayed Fellini, in this case Paolo Villaggio, an old man with a little boy suit on, and he goes down a cellar, and in the cellar there's this woman dressed in the coat that Rosita always wore, but she's an Italian actress, but she speaks Dutch with an Italian accent. And she tells him, she says, you've always remained a little boy. And then a lion walks in and puts his head on Fellini's lap and starts to cry. And this film is called The Dream of the Lion in the Cellar. So I took part of that title for the Dutch book.
Your previous novels, The Two Hearts of Quasi Boachi mm-hmm. and In Lucia's Eyes have been adapted for the stage. And The Two Hearts of Quasi Boachi also was turned into an opera, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, which is wonderful.
And you sing?
I used to sing. I'm terrible at singing, but I somehow, that's another dream I had. I bluffed my way into a solo part at the Dutch National Opera and died every night. But I mean, yes, I did sing, yes.
Well, do you assume that Director's Cut will be made into a play or into an opera?
I think this will be an opera will be possible. The other books are also currently made into films. I think you could never make a film of this one because you have to compete with Fellini's own wonderful imagery and who would dare.
Oh, I'd like to try that sometime.
Okay, well, that's a
although
deal.
I'm not sure that that Fellini would have been happy with what I would do with him. But that's a whole other matter.
That's always difficult.
Because Over the Top is a lot of fun, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
And but he was over the top so often.
Oh, yeah. That's why I think he might appreciate someone doing something completely strange with his work.
My guest has been Arthur Japin, who, by the way, taught at NYU. What did you teach here?
Creative writing.
His latest novel, called Director's Cut in this country, is published by Knopf. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.